Hi, Newstalk's Ciara Kelly here. There is something about summer that makes you want to refresh your home. And for many of us, that starts with the kitchen. It's where the morning coffee happens, where family life gathers, where friends always seem to end up. And after years of wear and tear, it might be time to give it the attention it deserves. So if you're thinking about a new kitchen, Tile Style is well worth a visit, because Tile Style doesn't just do tiles, they also design and supply beautiful kitchens, including the luxurious Porcelainosa kitchen collection. Think high quality, contemporary design, stunning finishes, clever storage, and a look that can completely transform your space. Their expert team can help you plan it all properly with advice and optional virtual design, so you can see how your new kitchen will come together before making any big decisions. And with Tile Style Summer Sale now on, offering exceptional value across the store, it's a brilliant time to start planning with tiles and finishes to perfectly complement your new kitchen. So if your summer plans include creating a kitchen that feels genuine special, start with Tile Style. Visit the Tile Style showroom in Ballymount to see full kitchen displays and finishes up close, or explore more at tilestyle.ie.
Moncrief on News Talk.
The digital age has provided all sorts of apparent aids for grieving people. QR codes on headstones, grief Facebook groups, even grief bots, where an avatar of the dead person can be manufactured and communicated with. But do they aid the grieving process or impede it? Margaret O'Reilly Carroll is a grief counsellor and psychotherapist. Afternoon, Margaret.
Good afternoon, Sean.
It would strike me that the normal course, or a large component of mourning, is accepting that someone is gone. But a lot of these digital age and aids, or digital aids and grief bots and the like, seem to almost have the aim of denying that fact, of somehow trying to keep them alive.
Yes, and I feel that certainly what you said, the biggest part of grieving is trying to balance that the person is gone, the reality of that. And also then the fact that we're trying to get on with our lives. So sometimes people say it's very difficult. It's almost like one of those seesaws or weighing scales. We're trying to get on with life, and yet we might have intrusive moments of grief, crying, loss, almost uncontrollable, sometimes people would say. So if we then have the approach using in this digital age, you know, opportunities where people can continue to relate, connect, live as if the person is still living, then that is quite worrying. Because at the end of the day, we're saying, you know, mourning, grieving is a natural process. I mean, nature grieves, nature, the seasons show us that, animals grieve, human nature, that's part of living and dying. So yes, that can be exactly what you're saying. It can actually bring people into a place that I call stuck in their grief, whereby they're not getting on with the normal life. And the more they entertain the grieving with the digital, keeping the person or even connecting or having an avatar that looks like the person, when does that end?
Yeah. Plus also, it kind of, I suppose that there might be money in it for some people devising these devices, but there's nothing wrong with the traditional method of grieving we have in this country, it would strike me.
No, and it has served us well for how long?
Yeah.
Until new age. Now, I guess the pandemic, COVID certainly changed everything. And I'd say then the opportunities were good in terms of the newer avenues for expression of support and remembrance by online stuff when people just couldn't meet in person. But there is the sense for me, and I've worked with people after COVID, whereby, yes, they did all of that. And yet the thought of going back home, particularly if they were abroad or away and they couldn't travel, even in this country they weren't traveling, the thought of going home when they could and the reality of the person not being there was at times overwhelming, even though maybe a year, 2 years, even 3 years could have passed. But that just shows the need for the in-person connection that we are good at in our Irish culture. And of course, we have to remember, really, Sean, as well, with grief, that mourning is the outward, if you like, expression. And we have very good outwards expression of support. Going to the wake, staying up, talking to people, remembering, all of that is just so good for our mental, emotional, psychological, spiritual well-being.
Yeah. So, I mean, it sounds like then during COVID, a lot of people's grief was almost put on hold for a couple of years, and then they had to face it afterwards.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't think there'd be very many that would disagree with that. But then, of course, when we put it on hold for a long period of time, and again, in my experience, not just now as a grief counsellor or therapist, but in my past, in my nursing career, I met people, because I went into grief counselling out after my palliative care and hospice, I met people who had put on hold their grief for years and years. And then the reality maybe of their own mortality coming up. That's where we sometimes say people do need support, as I would say always. Not many people. There's a small percentage needs counselling. But those who often access, it is important to respect and honour the fact that they may have never actually went through a normal process. What we'd say a common, and I don't like using the word normal because what's normal? Mm. But there are normalities of the grieving. There's commonalities of how we all grieve as human beings.
Yeah. And there does seem to be these loads of these pages on Facebook where people you've never met before and never will meet kind of send their condolences to you. One would have thought that's not particularly meaningful if they don't know you or they don't know the person who's died.
Exactly. And then that raises the question of grief groups online, where people maybe across the continents are joining groups to talk about their grief. Now, normal groups are very helpful. And there's certainly a lot of, you know, maybe online support groups and all of that for people struggling or grieving. But if it's facilitated by somebody who can be there to keep the boundaries and to keep the space safe. But the idea of connecting with people who we don't know, maybe very different cultures, beliefs, families, experience, all of that. And then we're pouring our heart out and then somebody goes offline and you don't know where they're gone or what's happening or whether they're going to be well or all right or not.
Mm. What do you think of QR codes on headstones?
Well, you know, again, what's the purpose? I would be saying, how are we going to use? Like, we have to be really mindful of using all of these. Are they going to enhance our ability to cope with what we're struggling with in our grief or loss? And I mean, and be able to still honour the deeply personal and human experience. And for our Irish culture, I would say, you know, going to a grave or not is a very individual piece. And that depends on people, what meaning they have, both of living and dying and death and after. Some people say, why would I go there? Their spirit is gone or whatever. So therefore, again, I put it in that bracket, Sean, of one, being careful and using it to look at, okay, is this an opportunity? Is it helpful? Because I never say, you know, broadly that something is either helpful, not helpful, good or bad. Everybody is different. But again, that may be just a process without, as I say, the real meaning. The real meaning of going and standing at a grave is very different from looking at it by just putting in a code.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the physical sensation, because grief is physical, emotional, psychological, spiritual. It's all of those. But to be honest, to be grounded in it, very often it's the physical. The online to me is virtual. And if we live in virtual worlds, where's reality?
Yeah. Well, you know the way, like probably we've all done it a bit. You come across a graveyard, you have a wander around it. You see people who died hundreds of years ago and you kind of wonder about, you know, their life circumstances and that kind of thing. It strikes me that the QR codes maybe might perform more of a service to just people who don't know the dead person at all. They're just a bit inquisitive about what their life story was.
Exactly. And people who are really interested in history, like I've heard of people, you know, who go abroad and they might go into, you know, a World War II graveyard, post-graveyard, whatever. That's, again, that's a very different use. So again, going back to how we use tools, particularly in such a sensitive and personal piece as the grieving process. And what's, you know, how do you do that? Do you do it in isolation? Commonly in Ireland, we go to the grave very often with family. You know, when family come back or we go and we chat, some people go and pray. These are all rituals that are very, very ingrained in our culture. It is changing, of course, and we have to look at that and see what the challenges and the opportunities are. But if it allows new expression of support and remembrance, that's fine. But then I would also say, you know, there's a whole thing about privacy, longevity of digital legacies and all of that. That all comes into it. And there's a lot of ethical issues there.
Margaret O'Reilly Carroll is a grief counsellor and psychotherapist. Margaret, thank you very much.
Thank you, Sean.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.